You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
I want to talk to you about talking and just go into some of the things that the Bible says. You know, everybody wants to say the right thing. I want to say the right thing. A word fitly spoken, the Bible says, is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver, one of the Proverbs says. In other words, I want to my words to fit, you know, because sometimes you say the wrong thing, you know, at the wrong time. You ever done that? You just said something and it didn't mean it, it came out wrong and wish you could take it back, you know, how many times you done that? But if you just pray, you know, God will give you wisdom, and that's what we all need, to be able to say the right thing at the right time. And then in life, sometimes we're killing ourselves with what we're saying. We're not just being negative for negative sake. We're destroying our lives. We're destroying our marriages. We're destroying each other because we're just constantly talking negatively about each other, about our business, about the church. It could be anything, you know. You got to watch what you say. What you say is going to determine the direction of your life. And if you want to learn to talk right, how many of you want to learn to talk right? Amen. You want to learn to talk right? Well, there's some rules. I like rules. Matthew 12, y'all found it? Jesus speaks about speaking, talks about talking, and he says here in the 33rd verse, he said, a good tree gives forth, or a good tree brings forth, King James says, good fruit. That's pretty simple. It's not deep. You know, it's nothing deep here. It's cornbread and beans. If you've got a good tree, it's going to bring forth good fruit. If you've got a bad tree, it's going to bring forth bad fruit, bottom line. A tree is known by its fruit. We don't always know what's inside of a person, but we can sure see their actions and their words and their deeds. We can see that. And you can tell where a person is by what is being produced in their life, or what comes out of their mouth, by what they do. And then he goes on and says, very nicely and sweetly here, he says, you brood of snakes, how can you say good things when you are sinful, or how can you be an evil, speak good things? And to me, you know, when you look at that, we kind of got it backwards. We think, well, I'm going to work on speaking right. But really, you got to work on your heart first if you're going to speak right. Well, I'm going to quit saying that. I'm going to start saying that. Well, you know, it's hard to quit saying what you've been saying when that's what's inside of you. And so you have to change what gets inside of you if you're going to change what's coming out of you. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Or the New Living Translation says that the heart determines what you say. Now, I love that. The heart determines what you say. You may think you determine what you say. You may think you just freely choose what you speak. But you really don't. You just speak out of what's inside of you. You can't speak what's not inside of you. You can't speak what you don't know, no more you can come back from where you admit. And whenever you get there you are. Okay. Are y'all paying attention? Okay. So if I want to speak right, I have to have the right thing in me to speak right. I mean, if you go in a Mexican food restaurant, you may think you have choices, but really you don't. You just have Mexican food choices. I'm going to go in this Mexican food restaurant. I'm going to just order anything I want. No, you're not. You're just going to order what's on the menu. That's all you have choices. So whatever's in the menu determines what you choose, whatever type restaurant it is. You're not going to go in a Mexican food restaurant and order Chinese food. They don't have Chinese food. You don't determine what's on the menu. You choose from the menu. Isn't that right? And so if you go in a Chinese food restaurant, it's no different. You go in a Chinese food restaurant, you don't get anything you want. You get Chinese food. You get choices of Chinese food. You get mugu gai pan. Hello. Or, you know, cashew chicken or garlic chicken or something. I don't know, whatever they have, you know, Mandarin chicken. But your choices are limited to what is inside that restaurant. That's all. So often we think, well, I can just choose to say whatever I want to. Well, really you can't. You can only choose to say what you have inside of you. That's all. And if you're going to determine to make a difference and make a change in the way you've been talking about yourself and about your marriage and about your life and about your future and your business and about the church or whatever the case may be, then you're going to have to get your heart full of God's word concerning that matter in order so you can have a menu to pick off of. Isn't that right? Because your heart, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Your heart determines what you say. Now listen, you do determine what you hear. You determine what gets in your heart. You make choices as to what you look at, what you listen to, and what you hang around, who you hang around. You make those kind of choices. But once those choices are made, the menu is written, and that's all you can speak off of. That makes sense? I think sometimes we go backwards with it. We try to straighten up someone's confession. We try to get them to talk right. But if we don't change what they're hearing, and we don't change who they're hanging around with and what they're watching all the time, then we're going backwards with this thing. Yeah. And we can do it with ourselves even. I mean, we can come in here and say, well, I'm just going to do better. I'm just going to talk better. Well, you can't talk better if it's not in you. How can you, being evil, speak good things? That's what Jesus said. Now, I'm not calling you evil, and I'm not calling you a bunch of snakes. Don't run out here and say that. I'm just using this as a teaching here. He was talking to the Pharisees, the religious people that did not receive him or accept him as Messiah. But he made a point. He said, he wasn't telling them, y'all need to straighten up, talk better. He said, y'all are just evil. He might not have said y'all. I mean, we say that in East Texas, but... But he said, how can you, being evil, speak good things? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Or, New Living Translation says, what's in the heart determines what you say. Wow. So whatever's in me will already predetermine what I'm going to say. What's in me was my choice. But my choice was long before I spoke. My choice came into play. My free will came into play way back there when I listened to whatever I listened to, read whatever I read, hung around with whoever I hung around with, and then that determined already, before I ever opened my mouth, it was already predetermined what I was going to say, based on the choices I made before that. Hallelujah. It's like going to a farmer, you know, that's got a field full of corn, and says, why don't you have watermelons out there? And he said, well, because I planted corn. And whatever came out was determined by what I put in. Well, how are you going to get watermelon? Don't you want some water? Wouldn't you like some watermelon? Who doesn't like watermelon? Come on, man. Wouldn't you like some watermelon? Well, yeah, it'd be nice to have some, but you've got to put it in there. It's got to get in the ground first before it ever comes out. It's just simple agricultural rules. You know, that's just the way it is. You only get out what you put in. And I think sometimes we don't do the grunt work ahead of time, you know. We don't do the mundane, you know, the seemingly mundane daily grind of reading our Bibles and going to church and hanging around God's people. But then a crisis comes and we want to do right. We want to speak right. We want to say right. We want to make our confession, as it were. But you see, it's just not there. It's just we're trying, but we're having trouble. We're struggling because just that's not been planted in us. It's not been in there. You're not a bad person. We're just saying that's the rules. That's just the way it works. Daddy makes the rules. We don't make the rules. You know, you squeeze a sponge. The only thing's coming out of that sponge is what it soaked up. That's all. And the only thing it soaked up was what it was around. And that's kind of what we are. We're sponges. And, boy, I'm just going from calling you snakes to sponges to dirt. We're dirt, you know. We go in life, and all these seeds are just getting in us. Whatever we're around, whatever we're listening to, whatever we're watching is getting in us. And hey, that's going to determine how we talk. So if we want to turn around what we're saying, we've got to make some choices before we ever start speaking. We've got to make some quality decisions and choices: who we hang around with, what we're going to listen to, are we going to get in the Word, are we going to listen to God, are we going to find out what He says? You know, people often say, "Well, man, you just quote so much. How do you quote so much Scripture?" Well, I didn't just decide to quote so much Scripture. I read a lot of Scripture. I listened to a lot of Scripture. I'm always listening to Scripture, always reading Scripture, and I preach a lot too. So I hear me preaching. You know, I hear myself preach. Faith comes by not saying. Faith comes by hearing. Saying is a product of faith. That's all. When we confess, that's the result of our faith. That's the consummation or the outflow of our faith. I mean, when you see something growing in the ground, Brenda's talking about a tree and, you know, a Lakewood, that prophecy they had of a tree and acorns. I feel like I am one of those nuts that came off that tree. But, I mean, what you see is a product of what has been in the ground germinating. Are you with me? and soak it in that ground, and finally enough heat, enough water, enough dirt and nutrients get to, boy, it burst out of that ground, and there it is, and it's evident. And then we know the tree by its fruits, is what Jesus said. But then he said, how can you be an evil? Speak good things, for out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. The heart determines what you say. Yes. Yes. Woo! Man, this is a better preaching. Y'all are amen it. This is good stuff. Because really, on a simple note, okay, this you'll love this part. On a positive, simple note, you don't have to work so hard on your confession if you've been spending time in God's Word. It'll just come out. You know, the farmer just goes out there and plants that seed. The Bible says he rises night and day and it grows and he knows not how, but the earth brings forth fruit of herself. You have some spiritual organs inside of you. You ever notice when you eat something, you're not constantly talking to your body and trying to make your intestines work and trying to, you know, okay, come on, just go, come on, intestines, let's go for it, let's go for it, let's digest that food. I want those juices in that stomach. Start diet, breaking that food down. Come on, you don't even think about it, do you? Because your body takes over once you get it in there. You have physical, you have organs that work and function in your body that if you just do your part and eat, and some of y'all have done very well with that, I can tell, but looking. You don't concern yourself after that because all your part is you just eat and your body will take over and do the rest. Isn't that right? Okay. So the farmer, he just plants it. If he'll plow that ground up and he'll get it ready to receive the seed, and he'll put that seed in there. Now, sure, he's got to water and weed after that, but he doesn't work that ground again, and he doesn't dig around that seed anymore. He just leaves it in there. And the earth brings forth fruit of itself. See, I think sometimes we're going backwards with this thing. We're working so hard on saying the right thing. What we ought to be working on is getting the word in us. Are you with me? Planting the seed of God's word, his promises. Look at them, read them, study them, hear them, get in church, get around God's people. Get around people who talk the word. You know, you hear it enough, you get around it enough, it's just going to come out of you. I mean, I get around people that hunt. I get around hunters. I like to hunt. You know, I bow hunt and I rifle hunt too. But you get around people that hunt, say we're hog hunting or something, and it just doesn't take long at all. I start slurring my words and going out there and get that hog, and we're going to get that hog dog, and we're going to get, you know, just because I'm around it, it just starts coming out of me because of the environment. Hello. Brennan's got an aunt and an uncle that moved to South Louisiana, and they're from Texas. But you wouldn't know it. They've been there so long in South Louisiana, they're always going to ask you something. They ain't going to ask you, they're going to tell you. Because they've been around, you know, so long, they just picked it up and it's in them and they can't help but talk that way because that's what they've been hearing all this time. So if you want to talk the word, then get around the word. That's just pure and simple. That's what Jesus is saying here. He's saying a good tree, you know, brings forth good fruit, and a bad tree, bad fruit, you generation of vipers, you snakes. How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of heart to mouth speaketh, what's in your heart determines what you say. Wow. And a good man brings out of his heart, think about this, a good man speaks things because of the good that's in him, or out of his heart he brings forth good things. Wouldn't you like some good things in your life? Well, you bring it out of your heart. You got to have it in there first before you can bring it out. But you bring it out of your heart, and an evil man brings out of his heart evil things. And that's when he goes on to say that men shall give account of every word that proceeds out of their mouth. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. By your words you'll have a good marriage. By your words you'll have a bad one. Are you with me? By your words you'll have a good business. By your words you'll have a nightmare of a business. Got to watch what you say, amen? But what you say is determined by what's inside. That's like telling the farmer, you better watch what you grow. Well, no, what you want to tell the farmer is you got to watch what you plant. Isn't that right? We'd tell the farmer would say, well, I'm careful what I plant. Because he's only growing what he's planting. Planting. And so we as Christians, as believers, if we want to sound like Christians, talk like Christians, if we want to experience the promises, if we want to encourage people, lift people, help people, love people, if we want God to flow through as a minister, if we want to be a part of the answer instead of part of the problem, if we want victory in our lives, if we want people to see Jesus in us, if we want to lead people to the Lord, then we're going to have to plant the right thing in us before the right thing comes out of us. Man, that's the principle. And that's really our greatest choice, our greatest opportunity for free will is in what we hear and what we listen to and who we hang around with. We really don't have that much free will and choice when it comes the way we normally talk. Don't twist what I'm saying here, but I want you to think about it. You're just talking out of your heart. You're just talking out of what you heard. You're just talking out of who you've been around. You know, it's not likely that I'm going to break off into Chinese here. I don't have Chinese in me. I was raised in East Texas. We learned Texas. And there some people speak English. So I speak East Texan. I'm always fixing to do something, reckon. You know, I reckon it's right. And so we have a universal word in Texas called ranch. Ranch is what you put your cows on. Ranch is what you use to work on a car. Ranch is what you do when something's stuck. You ranch it out of there. And ranch is what you do with your hair when you get a lot of shampoo. You got to ranch it. You got to ranch it. We have our own language in Texas, you know. Hallelujah. Turn to Psalms 1. That's good stuff. Psalms 1. And let's think about this. Think about the process. Everybody say process. See, everybody makes big about the event. Everybody talks about the event. And we love the event. We love the victories. We love the testimony. That's good. But see, there's always a process that brings us to that event. Always. Everybody talks about the healing. Everybody talks about the miracle of provision, as it were. Everybody wants to talk about that. And that's good. We should give God glory. And we should, praise Him and exalt Him in that respect. But I think, I know, we don't spend a lot of time on the process. And there are things that bring us to victory. Hallelujah. You know, even in that word that we heard, that tongue, that interpretation we just heard earlier, you got to praise God. You got to first lift your hand. You got to first worship Him. You first got to enter in. Then victory comes. Amen. Amen. So there's always a process before the event. Everybody wants a miracle. Everybody wants to eat the bread the little red hen cooked. Nobody was around when it was baking. Nobody's around when she was harvesting the wheat. You know, all that's the same thing. It's the little red hen story all over again. We don't want to, everybody wants the power of Pentecost, but they don't want that 10 days in the upper room, you know. The preparation of Pentecost. There's always a preparation. And so if you'll just do your part and prepare, most of your life is going to be just preparing. Most of your life is seemingly mundane. It's not just real spectacular and exciting every single moment of your day. Come on. I mean, we can get excited about other things that happen in other people's lives and so on. But, you know, you're not just on cloud nine every day and running the pews. And, of course, we put chairs in here so you couldn't do that. You know, you're not running the pews every day or swinging from the chandeliers. We took those out a long time ago, too, chandeliers. But there are times what's exciting. I mean, everything just going your way. Mr. Bluebird's on your shoulder. And thank God for those. And I'm believing for a lot more of them. But there's a lot of work before it gets to that day. It's wonderful to break that ribbon and win that race, but, you know, those guys that run those marathons are out there when it's raining, they're out there when it's cold, they're out there when the wind's blowing, they're out there when it's hot, when there are no fans and there is no finish line, they are getting ready for that race. And all we see is the event and forget the process, you know. So, but if you'll just do your part, that's all you got to do, just like there are natural organs I talked about earlier that digest food. You have spiritual organs, as it were, if you could think of it that way. If you will just get the word in you, if you will just spend time in God's word, if you will just take some time and read the Bible, if you'll go to church and you'll really listen to, please listen to the preacher, okay? Take notes, underline some things. If a scripture comes alive, write it down. Put it on your refrigerator and think about it all week if it takes it. Do whatever you got to do. But if you'll pay attention, if you'll eat the word, if you'll just receive it, your spirit will take over. And it will begin to digest that word. And for long, you'll catch yourself speaking the word. All of a sudden, you'll start talking the promise and quicker to pray and believe God, and you'll think, wow, where did that come from? Well, it came from what you had in you. See, if you'll do your part in getting it in you, your spirit will take over. It'll begin to work that word and germinate that word, and before long, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And this is what he's saying here in Psalms 1. He says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Well, first of all, he's telling us what not to do. Right? These things lead up to something. If you continue to hang around ungodly counsel, you know, I think one of the worst things can happen if somebody's having marital problems is to hang around their coworkers and get advice. God bless your coworkers. You ought to pray for them and hope you have some good ones. But if you're going to get good advice, get in the Bible or get around a marriage that's successful and ask them questions. Let them pray with you. Are you with me? But it says, walk not of the counsel of God, nor stand in the way of the sinner, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. You don't want to stand around just sinners all the time. If you're going to stand around in a worship, in a church. Stand beside someone with their hands up in there praising God. That'd be good. But walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of the sinner, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. You ever been around somebody that's always critical about everything, about everybody, that can always build a better mousetrap? They're a better quarterback than Tom Brady. I would say Tony Romo, but I'm wondering about that one. But anyway, you know, sorry, Ryan. I mean, just okay. Go Cowboys. But I mean, they do everything better. They can do everything better. Are you with me? And I wasn't talking about Ryan doing anything, but I was talking about insulting him by saying Tom Brady instead of Tony Romo. Anyway, you know, they're just critical of everything and everybody, and they can always do it better. And it's yeah. And their whole life is just criticism, just critical, you know. Well, that's what he's saying. Don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Don't sit around that, because you get around that, you're going to be just like that. The Bible says the companion of the wise will get yet wiser, but the mouth of the fool just pours out foolishness. We have it. We say the same thing a little differently. You can't soar with the eagles if you're walking with a bunch of turkeys. But that's really a proverb. It's basically the same thing. So if you hang around people that love God, you hang around people that you know that are successful in whatever area they're in. They're good people. They love God. They got a good marriage, whatever. You know, you're going to pick that up. Pure and simple. The years that Brent and I spent at Lakewood changed us. Something happened to us in that environment. Something happened to us when Brother Osteen would talk about missions. It just changed me. I couldn't help but be mission-minded because I came out of a mission-minded church. I couldn't help to have a positive attitude and a vision. And the size of the town didn't mean anything when we came here, because we came out of Lake. We came out of a visionary church. We came out of a church that was always growing, a church that was always reaching out, a church that was moving and shaking and making change. And you see, that's what was in me, because that's what I'd been around all that time. And so I never thought in terms of small town. We don't think in terms of small town. Small town church, small town people, small town God. No. Small town, big God. Small town, big thinking. And we've always done things here in this church that were maybe unusual for small churches, small towns, but we never thought that way, see? We didn't see that way. Why couldn't we have a television channel? We had one. We had one for 5 years. Why couldn't we pay cash and build buildings and pour concrete? Yes, Glenn's going, yes, amen, pour lots of it, Pastor. Why couldn't we do that? Why can't we pay cash? Why can't we get out of debt? Who says you can't have 40-something acres? Who says you can't have a food ministry? Who told you couldn't do a hallelujah night and have 3,000-4,000 people show up? Had 2,500 last year. That was a low year. Who says that? I mean, nobody. God didn't say that. Are you with me? But you get around people with vision, and you get vision. You get around people that believe God, and you want to believe God. You get around people that talk the word, and you want to talk the word. But you need to be careful that you walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of the sinner, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. Yes. You need to be the rest of that psalm. Yes. But his delight. Blessed is the man who walks not. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. His delight. But this blessed man, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. He's always talking it. He's always looking at it. He's always meditating on it, thinking about it, chewing on it. Woo! You know that word meditate? I don't want to get too deep with you. I don't want to sound like a Hebrew scholar because I ain't one. But that word meditate is the Hebrew word hagah, H-A-G-A-H, hagah. It actually literally means to talk with oneself, to murmur, to speak out loud. I think we think of meditating in terms of Eastern transcendental meditation, you know, where they just go, whatever they do. And we think of meditate as just thinking, but actually it's talking. It's talking. It's okay to talk to yourself as long as you don't say what. You know, think about that. You know, some of the best cartoons are those Popeye cartoons. You remember those? He's always talking and says, you know. Okay. The old black and white ones. You know what I'm talking about? You'd hear him and all those little things he'd say, you know, just muttering to himself. I'll get you. I'll tell you what. I'll get you. He was always talking about what he was going to do. You know, he's always talking to himself. But really, scripturally, you can do that with the Word, with the Bible. And he says, this man, blessed is the man, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. He talks with himself. He speaks it. He mutters it. It comes out. So that's what the word literally means. It's actually translated speak in many cases in the Old Testament. It's translated talk and speak. So when we're meditating on a word, we're talking the word. The word's in us. We're not hanging around ungodly, sinful, scornful people. But we're meditating in the word. In his law doth he meditate day and night. And it goes on. It says, and he, this man, this blessed man, this man that's been meditating in the word, the one that had been hanging around the ungodly and the sinful and the scornful, because he's got the right environment, because he's putting the right thing in him, right? He shall be like a tree planted. There it is again. He's like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He's taking in nutrients from the river of God. He's taking in information from God, not from the scornful and the sinful and the ungodly. Yeah. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. Yeah. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatever he does shall prosper. Woohoo! I don't know about you. That sounds pretty good to me. Amen. But if I want to bring forth my fruit, I'm going to have to plant my roots. You're not going to get the fruit unless you got the roots right. You want good fruits, you got to have good roots. And you got to watch where you plant those roots. You got to watch what you're listening to. You got to be careful what you're hearing, because what's in your heart will determine what you say. And wherever you are, well, there you are. I mean, there you are, wherever you are. Wherever you are, there I is. That's all that's going to come out. So, you know, get around people that are positive. You know, especially if you got a problem, don't hang around people that are just going to sympathize with you. Sometimes you need a pat on the back and sympathy, but you need someone to help you get out of this hole you're in. Amen? Isn't that right? If the blind lead the blind, we both fall in the ditch. That's what Jesus said. So get around somebody that'll help you get out of the mess you're in. And then, you know what? You turn around and get some other people out of the mess they're in. Once you get free, you help other people get free. Once you get your house paid for, why don't you help somebody else pay their house off? Oh, come on now. I quit preaching. Got to meddling now, didn't I? No, see, it's not about just being blessed. It's about being a blessing. Well, why not? You got all your stuff paid for. Why don't you just look for other people to help? Jerry Savelle came to this church on our 15-year anniversary. We owed $18,000, $18,000-something. Some odd dollars. 18,500. How many pennies was it? Do you know? I just figured you would. Anyway, we owed 18,500. We'd paid off loan after loan. We had got an aggressive system. We'd started giving to missions, increased our mission. And we, in 1997, we had our 15-year anniversary. Jerry Savelle came. He preached a great message, talked about the favor of God, talked about association. And at the end of his message, he stood up there and he said, you know, when I walked in this building, the Lord spoke to me and told me to pay your building off. I was just in shock. I don't know, many of y'all were here at that service. My jaw dropped. I stand right there on the front row believing for a good offering for Dr. Jerry Savelle, thinking, you know, I want to bless him because we never had Jerry and all that. And he turned around and gave, we did not give him $18,500, I can tell you that. He wrote us a check for $18,500 and paid off our building. And I talked to him after the service. I said, you have no idea what that did to our church. I said, you just have no idea what a blessing that was. Brother Jerry, I don't even know what to say. I mean, thank you just didn't seem enough. He said, oh, no, thank you. He said, I've been praying. Yeah. He said, my wife and I have been praying about paying off churches. And we'd already decided we're going to pay a church off. And when I walked into your building, the Lord said, this is it. I want you to pay this church off. He said, God's blessed us, and I want to be a blessing. I want to help others. Man, wouldn't you like to get there? I want to get there. But it's going to start by get around the right people. Come on now. Get in the Word. Get the Word in you, and you'll start talking right. And you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You'll bring forth your fruit in its season. Your leaf also shall not wither, and whatever you do will prosper. Amen?